Just see by a show of hands, because this series is all it has been. We've called the series "I Need Some Help," and this series is really a series designed to remove the stigma and the shame of asking for help, because all of us struggle in different ways. All of us have things that we're dealing with, and the one thing that the enemy would convince us of is that you can't talk to anybody about it. That if there's something wrong with you, there's something wrong with you, and you can't talk about it. And so we end up staying in this stronghold and in this prison of isolation, because the enemy's convinced us that something's wrong with you if you need to ask for help. But I'm here to let us know that God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. He wants to help us when we're going through. He wants to strengthen us when we feel weak. Amen, somebody? So it's okay to not be okay. And I just want to know, by show of hands, how many of y'all right now in different areas of your life, you can honestly say, I need some help right now, just by show of hands. Amen. So I want y'all to look around, because the enemy's convinced some of you that you are alone in this thing. And I want you to see your brothers and sisters, come on, keep them hands raised, that like, man, I'm not alone in this. We all need some help. Amen, somebody? And so we confess that to God, because the scripture says that when we bring those things to God, that he ministers to our needs and that he helps us. And so for the past few weeks, we've been talking about different ways in which we have needed help. We've talked about stress, and we've talked about anxiety. I had a friend of mine who shared, she tagged me in this post on Facebook, and she shared the message that we preached a few weeks ago called When Anxiety Attacks. And she was just talking about how she's been dealing with so much anxiety for such a long period of time, but how she heard the message because a friend of hers shared the message with her. And so she literally was talking about how she's gone to the doctor and the doctor's kind of prescribed her some things to help her out. She said that message was exactly what she needed to help her deal with her anxiety. Come on, somebody. I want us to know that Jesus can help us no matter what it is that we are dealing with. And so we've talked about anxiety. We've talked about stress. We've talked about worry. We've talked about loneliness. And we've talked about depression of sorts. And we talked about doubt last week. Today, we're going to talk about something that many of us struggle with, whether we admit it or not. And I think many of us might not admit this, but we struggle with it. Today, we're going to talk about how we need help with rest. Somebody say rest. Come on. Oh, you see, y'all ain't look already. I can see what kind of sermon it's going to be. We need some help with rest. And so we're going to lean into this. That was the theme of our conference this past weekend at Illuminate. We heard so many incredible messages and encouragement around this theme. And so we're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 11. I want to invite us all to stand to our feet. Matthew chapter 11. And I want to encourage us, family, to share this message. If you're watching online, I want you to share the stream. Text this link to somebody, because I believe that God wants to speak to all of us today who find ourselves tired, weary and worn out, burned out, can't sleep, don't have clarity. This is a message that I believe that God has for us. So we're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, but then we're also going to flip over to Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 31. So I got two scriptures that I want to really draw our attention to today. So here's what Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Those are the words of Jesus. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I want us to flip over to the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 30 through 31. Here's what the scripture says. Mark 6, verse 30. It says, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Verse 31, he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat.'" Have you ever been in that place where you feel like you've been moving so much that you don't need to have time for the essentials? "Come away by yourselves to a remote place," he says, "and rest for a while." I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we continue our series, "I Need Some Help." I want to preach from this thought: rest for the restless. Rest for the restless. Tell the person beside you, there's going to be something you will experience today, and it's called rest. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to us, encourage us in this moment. strengthen us? Would you give us what we need? God, we come against distractions and things that would get in the way of what it is you want to speak to our hearts. Settle our spirit. Settle our mind. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. You all can be seated. Amen. Can we bless God for our worship team leading us in worship this morning? Can we put our hands together? Amen. Thank you so much, worship team, for leading us and all of our teams who serve and create an atmosphere to experience the Lord. I never take that for granted. But I want to talk about something that many of us struggle today with called rest. And I believe, family, if I were to ask many of us, if not all of us in here today, if you were tired, many of us would say yes. Matter of fact, can we just level the playing field? If you're tired right now, physically, mentally, could you just raise your hand? Can you, oh, come on, online. I see Dolly, you in the back with both hands. He a teacher. You know he tired. And it's interesting because all of us go through these seasons in our life where we experience fatigue of sorts. All of us are tired. When I thought about this topic of rest for the restless, I thought about this scene from the movie called The Green Mile, and there was this character played by Michael Clark Duncan, and as he's having this very pivotal speech with Tom Hanks, he says a few words that have now become a meme for people when they are tired. And I found it online, and it's these three words: I'm tired, boss. I'm tired. How many of y'all can say that right now? Boss, I'm tired. I'm tired of these kids. I'm tired. I'm tired of this job. I'm tired of my employer. I'm tired of people getting on my nerves. I'm tired. Tired. I'm so tired that I dropped the R. I'm tired. T-I-E-D. I'm tired. Come on. How many of y'all not just tired? I'm tired. I'm tired now. So my grandmother used to say, I'm tired of y'all. Sit down somewhere. That's the word for some of us today. Sat down. Not sit down. Sat down. S-A-T. Down. Sat down. Come on, tell the person beside you, sat down. I know it's weird because you're already sitting down, but you know. And we laugh and we joke about it, but obviously, fatigue, more specifically, lack of rest is something that's extremely important. It's something that I think all of us deal with. I came across this study, or this article rather, in October of 2017. There was a story that came out about a 31-year-old Japanese woman, and I specifically said her ethnicity because you'll hear in a moment why, but a 31-year-old Japanese woman worked in broadcast television, and she died in 2013 due to overworking herself. And according to this news story published by The Guardian, her name was Miwa Sato. She had worked, catch this, 159 hours of overtime in the month before her death, which was due to heart failure. It was the equivalent of her working 2 months in one. Now, the reason why I mention her ethnicity is because as a Japanese woman, she lived in Japan. And in Japanese culture, there's such a big problem with working excessive hours that they have a word for death by overwork called karoshi. That you're not dying because of a heart attack per se, or you're not just dying because of high blood, you're not dying because of this or dying because of that, you're dying because of overwork. CNN found in a case study that showed that those who work 11-hour days are 250% more likely to become depressed than those who limit their work to 8-hour days. That those who work 11-hour days are 250% more likely to become depressed than those who limit their work to an 8-hour day, if you will. Now, when we hear these stats and these stories, if you're like me, it's alarming. And it's jarring, and it's very sobering. Because what it lets us know is that we were not meant to run at a continuous type of pace. We were not meant to have this team no sleep, if you will, mentality. Come on, how many of us have said that? Team no sleep right here. We were not meant, as my grandmother would say, to burn the candle at both ends. Because when you do that, you're left with nothing. But what we see in culture and what we see in our day and time is that there is a prevalent issue with a lack of rest. And unfortunately, many struggle when it comes to rest, even some of us who are here today online and in person. And here's what I want us all to realize. We all need rest. We all need a break. And rest can mean many different types of things. Mental rest, emotional rest, things of that nature. Nothing wrong with those. But in Scripture, you kind of see that there is a focal point on a few major dynamics of rest. One being physical, but then also one being spiritual in nature. The word rest literally means to cease or to stop. It means to pause or to end for a moment. Now, that brings us to the book of Matthew and to the book of Mark. And the reason why I read these scriptures here is because we see two instances where the word rest, everybody say rest, where rest is used by Jesus. And in both instances, the disciples and others are tired and are exhausted. Some of us came here today watching online are tired and exhausted. Exhausted and tired. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, we see that the disciples are suffering from fatigue because early in verse 30, it talks about how they were going from this place to that place and they were doing ministry over here and they were doing ministry over here. And in verse 31, notice what Jesus says. He says, come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. Because they had been experiencing so much coming and going, they did not even have time to eat. They were physically exhausted. But now in Matthew chapter 11, we see Jesus addressing this issue of rest with people who are fatigued, not necessarily physically, but spiritually. So in one instance, we see Jesus speaking to physical fatigue. And in Matthew 11, we see Jesus speaking to spiritual or soul fatigue. In Matthew chapter 11, the people were exhausted by all the demands of the religious teachers in that time who were essentially adding to God's law, do this and do that, do this and do that. And people were exhausted. They were tired. So many people were depleted spiritually and emotionally and even physically. And I think that like these people here in these passages, the disciples and the wide variety that Jesus is talking to in Matthew chapter 11, I believe that many of us can identify with that. Come on, let's be real today. Many of us, if we would be honest, are overworked, working excessive hours, right? Assignments that are constantly due, papers that need to be turned in, tests that need to be studied for, job is putting crazy amounts of pressure on you. Many of us in here are overworked. In addition to that, not only are we overworked, but many of us in here are overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed because the bills are stacking up. We're overwhelmed because life has become hard and heavy, having to go to this place and that place. You are ripping and running, running and ripping. Y'all say that? Y'all know about that? Like we're here, we're there, we're everywhere. And we're overwhelmed and we're seeing how we're drowning in debt and our lives are filled with so much stuff that we're overworked, we're overextended, and we're overwhelmed. And some of us are here today, and you're overextended, you're overworked, and you're feeling overwhelmed. Corrie ten Boom says these words, Christian thinker, a while back, she says this, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Selah. That means the pause, by the way. If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. In other words, your life will be filled up with so much that it depletes you, it drains you, you feel empty. I said a few weeks ago, I'm going to come back to it now, that I have a bad habit of driving the car with the gas light on. Come on, don't look at me with this righteous look of indignation. Some of y'all are empty tank drivers too, like me. Come on, tell the truth. Shame the devil. Oh, I got another 20 miles right there. But I'm going to be real with you, y'all. It was a few weeks ago. No, last week. Last week, the light came on, and you know, sometimes in cars, they'll tell you, like, how much mileage you got left and stuff like that. And I saw at one point, I was like, okay, I'm good. You know, yeah, I'm good. And then a few days went by, and I didn't notice it, and I noticed I had 2 miles left. Do you know how much my heart skipped beats? Because I noticed it as I was driving with no gas station around. So now I'm living under this pressure that could have been avoided had I stopped and refilled. And I wonder if our lives are moving so much to the point where the gas light is on, but we're not paying any, we're not stopping long enough to get refilled. And so now we're stressed, we're anxious, and come on, let's be real. You know how it is when you get tired and you get stressed and you get anxious, you get real short. Your tone begins to change. Hey, good morning. Man, all right. Right? Everything begins, your countenance begins to shift. Your mood begins, because you're tired, you're stressed, you're anxious, you're overwhelmed. Come on. I'd be willing to say that many of the worst decisions we make was not because we were, quote unquote, trying to sin against God. It's because we were tired. And the enemy knows, since I can't take you out because I don't have that power, I'll wear you out. He know he can't take you out. So the goal is, I'm going to wear you out. How you go here? How you go there? How you do this? How you do that? Fill your schedule with all this type of stuff. And we just feel overwhelmed now. And we're just exhausted. And some of us here today, we feel like we can't rest. Right? We feel like, I don't have time to sleep. I don't have time to take a break. Because if I don't do it, who will? Anybody ever said that? If I don't do it, it's not going to get done. And there's some truth to that. But if I live my life like that, then it leaves me exhausted and depleted. And some of us are here today, let's be honest, we don't know how to rest. So we want to rest, but it's like, I don't know how. What does this look like? And so we're tired. Many of us are here, we're watching online, you're exhausted, we're tired. Dealing with this, got to get up at the crack of dawn, and I'm going to bed late. I got early mornings and late nights and very short windows of time to rest. I'm tired. Some of you who are college students in here, you know what that feels like. You're exhausted, and you got to do this exam. You got midterms coming up, and you're stressing. Some of you young people in here, like you feel like your parents are putting all this pressure on you, and you feel exhausted, and you feel depleted, and you feel drained. And for those of us in here who feel tired spiritually and physically, here is some good news. Jesus extends the invitation to us to rest. He wants to give us this gift called rest. He extends to us this gift of rest. So I want you to notice how in both passages of Scripture, in both Matthew 11, verse 28, and then also in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, what does Jesus say? Come. That's the invitation. In Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all who are tired and weary and burden. He says, come to me in Matthew 6:11 or Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all of you, all of you. I love this because here's what it means. It means all of us at some point get tired. It doesn't matter what your color is. It doesn't matter what your creed is. It doesn't matter how much money you make, how much money you don't make. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. All of us get tired at some point. Fatigue has no bias. Exhaustion has no proclivity to only go to one type of person and not go to the, no, exhaustion happens to all of us. And what Jesus does here is he says, all of you all who are tired, no matter who you are, no matter if you're poor, no matter if you're rich, because that was some of the things that the people were dealing with in this day and time, he says, come get some rest. Come. Come get some rest. And many of us in here, you came here tired and burdened. You feel like the weight of life is weighing you down. It is on your chest. Some of us have problems breathing when we begin to think about all the different things that are happening. And it literally feels like you are living under a weight and you cannot move. How many of us feel like that? I'm weighed down emotionally. I'm weighed down spiritually. I'm weighed down even physically. But the good news today is that if you're tired, if you're stressed, if you're overworked, if you're overwhelmed, if you're overextended, if you're burned out, Jesus says, this invitation is for you. And I'm so glad that Jesus loves us so much that he's even in tune with what we're feeling physically and spiritually, that he's so aware of what we need that he extends the invitation for us to experience it. I'm so glad that Jesus is not just concerned about the quote-unquote spiritual things in life, but he's concerned about the smallest details of my life, the things that many of us might overlook or the things that many of us might think that he doesn't care about. He actually does care about. He cares about the fact that we're stressed out. He cares about the fact that we're tired. He cares about the fact that we're burdened. He cares about the fact that we're overextended. Jesus cares about every single person who is tired, and he cares so much that he extends the gift of rest. He says, come. You tired? This is for you. If you came in here today overextended, overwhelmed, this sermon is for you. If you're watching online, I don't even know what day of the week you're watching this. If you watch it at a later time, it could be 2092 and we're gone. Jesus' invitation still stands. If you're tired, come to me. I got you. Can we just pause right there and just thank God about the fact that he says, I got you, no matter what it is that you're dealing with. You need some help with rest? I got you. You need some help with your fatigue? I got you. You need some help with your stress? I got you. You need some help with everything that you're dealing with? I got you. Cares about our need for rest, which is why he extends this invitation to rest, which means this rest isn't just for some people, and maybe some of us have actually believed that. Oh, that's good for you. I don't have time to rest. Jesus says, no, this is for you too. It's for anyone who is restless. And all of us at some point in time need to receive this gift and lean into this. I want to give us a few principles that we learned here in Matthew 11 specifically about this invitation of rest that Jesus gives us, that when he extends this invitation to rest, here's what it number one helps us to see. It helps us to see the source of rest. So in Matthew 11, verse 28, notice what Jesus says to not just his disciples, but to all these people who are here who are tired emotionally and spiritually because of all these burdens that religious leaders and teachers were putting on them. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Let's read this last part together. And I will give you rest. I love that. I will give you rest. Notice how when Jesus extends this invitation, he doesn't direct them to a place. Oh, you need rest? Go to Cancun for a week. You'll be good. Go to the beach resort and you'll be good. Nothing wrong with that. But that's the resource, not the source. He says, no. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Because he is the source of rest. I will give you rest. He's helping us to see that for us to receive the rest that we need to turn to him for it. In other words, we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. Here's what Psalm 62, verse 1 says. The psalm writer says it like this. I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. I'm at rest in God alone. In other words, rest is found in the Lord. Not anything else, which is why, come on, let's be real. You know this to be true, because how many times have you been on a vacation, tried to get rest, and you came back more tired? How many of you have taken days off from work, and it felt like you didn't take no time off? I need to take a day off from the day off. Because that's the resource, it's not the source. There's a place for that. But what Jesus is trying to help us to understand, that to get the rest that you truly need, it is found in him. Here's what Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 says. And I came across this a few weeks ago just in my daily reading. And y'all, when I read this scripture, ooh, it messed me up. And I know it's going to mess us up. Here's what it says. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, the Holy One of Israel. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. And quietness and confidence is your strength. Watch what he says next. But you would have none of it. Rest was found in me. Only salvation is found in me. Only everything you need is found in me. He's talking to his people who were disobeying him. He says, but y'all didn't want it. You didn't want to have any parts of it. So here's what the Bible says next. You said, no. We will get our help from Egypt. In other words, we will get our help from other places. They will give us swift horses for riding into battle. But watch this. Here's what God says to that. But the only swiftness you're going to see is the swiftness of your enemies chasing you. You ever felt like your life was chasing you down and you were getting hunted down by bills and by other things and by overwhelming expectations? Ever felt like it was just piling up on you? He says, one of them, watch this, one of them will chase 1,000 of you. One of them will put 1,000 of y'all to bed. Then he says, 5 of them will make all of you flee. You will be left like a lonely flagpole on a hill or a tattered banner on a distant mountaintop. In other words, here's what God is saying. When you try to find rest in any other place and source outside of him, it's going to leave you even more depleted. It's going to leave you more empty. It's going to lead to more chaos and to more calamity. But God says, come to me, though. I got you. Here's what early church father St. Augustine says. He says, you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Our heart is restless until it rests in you. Which now leads us to the second thought that I want us to see here, and this is where I'm going to spend a lot of our time for the next few moments. That we not only understand that Jesus is the source of rest, but then notice what Jesus says back in Matthew 29. Take up my yoke, watch this, and learn from me. Now it's what I'm calling the way of rest. So we see he's the source, but now he's saying, now come learn how to rest from me. Why is this so important? Because what we've learned about rest, we maybe haven't learned from scripture, we've learned from culture. Maybe we have some preconceived notions about rest that don't really line up with the way of Jesus. He's helping us and his hearers to realize that doing things culture's way and tradition's way, it doesn't work. It leaves us exhausted. We need a better way. And for many of us in here, I believe that many of us in here, all of us in here, I believe that many of us want to rest. But I was literally just talking with somebody earlier this week, and they said, I want to rest, but I don't know how. And I believe that that's a genuine heart cry for many of us. I don't know how to rest. So because I don't know how to rest, I keep going. I don't know how. And that's for some of us where we need to ask for help, but we believe the lie of the enemy, and we've been shamed into thinking because we don't know how that there's some shame there. I want to help you understand there is nothing wrong with you admitting that I need to learn how to do this. And because when we understand that and when we can be honest about that, I need to learn a better way, that's when God shows us the better way. My prayer is that we would be freed from this stronghold called shame and the thinking that because we don't know how to do something or we don't know about something that God doesn't love us or that we can't be better. And God is trying to help us understand, hey, listen, you don't know the way, but it's good news because Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way. So learn from me. It's almost like God is saying, you're going to learn today. Learn from me. Learn from me. Which means this. And thus learning from him, that also means that we're going to have to unlearn some perspectives. We got to unlearn some routines. We got to unlearn some rhythms that haven't helped us, but instead we need to learn the way of Jesus when it comes to rest, which is why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. In other words, let's do it Jesus' way. Because Jesus' way always works. It's maybe not the most popular, but it's always the most effective. And I just want to know, if you're tired, anybody who's tired in here, are you ready for something different? Like, I need some breakthrough in this area. Some of you haven't had a good night of sleep in years because there's been so much that's been ruminating in your mind and in your heart that even when you sleep, it's like you can't turn your mind off. You're dreaming about your problems. You're worried. All these different types of things. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you a better way. I'm going to give you something better. He says, learn for me. Here's what John Mark Comer says. He wrote this book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It is a phenomenal book. I read this in the beginning of 2021. Phenomenal book. I want to encourage every single person to get it. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And here's what he says. One of his quotes that are so powerful. He says this. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. So we want to experience this life of Jesus. We got to do it his way. We got to put down our preferences, our perspectives. We got to put down maybe what's been put on us. And we got to learn from him. And here's one of the things that you see with Jesus. One thing that you see with Jesus is he was rarely in a hurry. You never see it where it says Jesus sprinted to this place. He got them Air Force One sandals and was gone. You never see that. You never see Jesus in a rush. Can I prove it to you? There was a situation where Jesus had some close friends, and he got word that one of his close friends was on the verge of dying. You know what Jesus did? He stayed where he was for another 4 days. He wasn't in a hurry. Now, I'm not saying that we do that, but the principle, some of y'all are like, hey, Lewis, it is what it is. You're missing the principle. Don't go there with that. But when you look at John chapter 11 and understand the context, what he was trying to do is he was trying to give them a greater revelation of who he was in the midst of that. So that's why he said, Lazarus is sick, and for your sake, disciples, I'm glad. Why would he say that? Because on the back end, what he would reveal, after Lazarus would die, and Mary and Martha would come to him, Lord, if you would have only been here sooner, he would still be here. And then Jesus says these words, I am the resurrection and the life. And a few moments later, he raises Lazarus back to life. What is Jesus trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us that his pace is different than culture. That there is a purpose to his pace. Jesus was never in a hurry. This is why I think people will say things like, he may not come when you want him, but he's. Some of y'all are like, I don't need you to come on time, I need you to come early. Because the way my nervous system is built up, I'm looking at the watch, and you're supposed to be here at 10 o'clock, and it's 9:59. I am going crazy. I'm exhausted right now. Come on, how many of y'all like that right now? Come on, how many of y'all like that? Come on, let's be real. How many of y'all, come on, you like that, not just with Jesus and the Lord. Come on, you like that with people too. See here? And some of y'all that got real strategic with people that you know struggle with time, so now you give a buffer. If it starts at 10, you be like, yeah, it starts at 9. Because you need an hour. What am I trying to help us understand? That the pace of Jesus, he was rarely in a hurry. And you know what, family? Jesus had the busiest schedule out of everybody. When the last time you fed 5,000 people and then went to walk on water, then to just across the sea and go feed another 14,000, whatever the case may be, and then to have to go heal a leper and then have to go open up a blinded eye. Oh, by the way, you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, which means at the end of this whole thing, you're going to have to get on the cross and carry that cross about 9 miles and get on the cross and get shamed. He had more on his schedule than all of us combined. And you know what his pace was? Like this. One person said that the pace of Jesus moved at approximately 2 miles per hour because he walked everywhere. I get it. The pace of Jesus is so counterintuitive to culture because culture says you got to hustle. Culture says you got to get it. You got to do it. Now, there is a place for that. I'm not saying that we should not do that because there's moments in Scripture where the Bible talks about suddenly. Right? So I'm not saying that we just are lethargic and that we're just lazy. No. What I'm trying to help us understand is that the rhythm of our life should have a rhythm that's similar to that of the Lord. And one thing that's important about understanding God's desire for anything, especially when it comes to rest, is we got to go to where it's first mentioned. It's what theologians call the law of first mentions, which means this, that if you want to understand God's principle about something, go to the first time that it's mentioned. And the first time we see the word rest mentioned, it's in the Old Testament. And it's in the book of Genesis that after God created the heavens and the earth and he created all the sea creatures and land creatures and he created humanity. Here's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. He saw that he had all that he had made and it was very good indeed. Evening came and then morning, the sixth day. So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. Then Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. On the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. This is the first time that we see the word rest mentioned in Scripture. And God is the one who did it. Not because he was tired. Whew. Adam and Eve, man, look, a lot of work creating y'all. No. He's inexhaustible. He is what theologians call the unmoved mover. He was not created. He is the source. He is the creator. He didn't need rest. That's not why he did it. He rested because we did. He didn't rest because he needed rest. He rested to show us that we needed rest. So he's showing us this pattern and this way of rest. And he's given us this example to follow. It means to cease. It means to stop. And then later on in scripture, in the book of Exodus, where God's people were in bondage for a number of years, they were working every day, 7 days a week, sun up to sundown. They were in bondage. They were enslaved to Pharaoh and others. And then the Bible talks about how God set them free out of Pharaoh. And one of the first things that God established for them is he says, and you will keep the Sabbath or the seventh day holy. Sabbath means to rest, to stop, to pause. And it was a callback to what God did back in the garden. God did back when he created humanity. God did when he created all things. He rested. He says, y'all have been used to working 7 days a week. That was your former life. I have come to give you a better life. Take this day off. Rest. Can I say this? So in other words, if we're working at a constant and nonstop pace, we are reflecting the lifestyle of somebody in bondage. That's what the people were in Exodus. God says, I came to set you free of that. Because I didn't make you to be, let me say it like this, you're not a human doing, you're a human being. But you're not a machine, you're a human. You have limits. And what God does, he gives this gift of Sabbath to rest. And he gives this gift of Sabbath so that way we can rest in him. And now by the time we get to the New Testament, we see Jesus resting, y'all. So we see it in the Old Testament, we also see it in the New Testament. So here's what the Bible says in Mark 1:35. I'm going to move through this quickly. The Bible says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He went out and made his way to a deserted place. And there he was praying. He got away. He withdrew. He paused. This is in the middle of him doing crazy, miraculous things, walking on water, healing people, feeding people. But the Bible says he got away and he prayed. Who was he praying to? God the Father. Why? Because his soul needed rest. Jesus is the perfect prototype of a human. He was 100% God and he was 100% human, just like all of us. And he got away to be with the Father. Now, I don't want to convict us too much with this, but it might convict us. If Jesus, in the midst of his schedule, had time to spend with God the Father, surely we can as well. Because that's where we experience a spiritual rest and a soul rest and a refreshing. Every day, this is what he did. This was his pattern. So much to the point, if you continue to read on, the Bible says that the disciples were looking for him and they searched everywhere for him. Which means that Jesus was not readily accessible all the time. He took breaks. Thomas, you're getting on my nerves with all this doubting stuff. Peter, you want to cuss somebody out all the time. I need a break. I need a break. Somebody say, I need a break. You need a break. You got to pause. I said a word earlier, Selah. It's a word that's used in the book of Psalms after different long passages of scripture in the book of Psalms. And that word literally means to pause. Pause. Selah. You need to have some Selahs in your life. In the rhythm of your life, my life. I need to have a Selah where I can pause and catch my breath. Have you ever been working out and maybe playing a sport and you found yourself like winded?
Run on this treadmill for 1 minute. Oh my God.
What's the natural thing that you know to do in that moment? Take a breath. Catch your breath. Stop. Because if you continue to move at that pace, you will pass out. Now we got to call the stretcher in. Paramedics. Because I've gone past my limitation. But God has hardwired into creation and into humanity and even into our lives that we would have this rhythm of rest. And Jesus shows us this here spiritually. But here's what he also shows us physically. I love this scripture. Mark 4, 35 through 41. It says, on that day when evening had come, Jesus told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. So they left the crowd and took him along since he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we are going to die? There's a tsunami, a storm, going crazy on the sea. What is our Lord doing? Sleeping good. Got that dribble drew just going on you. That's that good sleep. I ain't hear nothing. You ever slept so good? There was so much happening around you. Matter of fact, when I came in the house with the boys yesterday after Ariel was done with Illuminate, we came in a little bit later, and I came in the house, and she looked at me crazy. I didn't even hear you walk in the door. How long y'all been here? You had that good rest, didn't you? That's what our Lord is doing. Sleeping. You got to have some kind of stillness in your soul to sleep during a storm. He's knocked out. But why would he be knocked out? Because he knows who controls it. And when you know who controls the storm, it gives you peace to be able to sleep in the storm. Come on. That's the word for some of us today. That the reason why you are stressing out so much and you don't get any sleep is because you think that you are responsible for controlling the storm. No. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to take this invitation from Jesus and rest in the storm just like him. So if he's asleep, why shouldn't I be asleep? You got some room, Jesus? But let's be real. Oftentimes, our response is like the disciples. Oh my gosh, Jesus, don't you see the storm? Don't you care? Don't you care about us? I care about you so much that I want you to rest. And the Bible says Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind. And he said to him, silence, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm, a great calm, a great calm. Then he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? We talked about doubt last week. Isn't that interesting? That doubt would rob you of sleep. Doubt will rob you of rest. Doubt will cause you to second guess everything, which contributes sometimes for some of us to that lack of rest. But Jesus says, I want you to learn my way. I heard one person say, if God stays, if he neither sleeps nor slumbers, then maybe I should let him worry about the problems while I get rest. It don't make sense in both of us being awake about it. I'm going to go to sleep. Can I tell y'all, family? I have seen God. Do you know that God does some of his best work at night? While you sleep? While you rest? See, the thing is, the reason why we sometimes struggle with rest is because we think that some things won't happen if we don't rest or if we do rest. We think that things can't move forward if we actually rest. Can I argue that one of the things that you see constantly in Scripture is that God does some of his greatest and most beautiful work when we rest? You don't believe me? Remember Genesis? Let's go back there. When did God create Eve? While Adam was sleeping. And he woke up and said, my God, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, this is my wife. That happened because he rested. He does some of his best work. I mean, you go to the New Testament, and you look in the book of Acts, and the Bible talks about how Peter was in prison, and he was awaiting to get orders as to whether or not he was going to get executed for the faith or whatever the case may be, because they were preaching in the name of Jesus, and the people's like, hey, every time you preach in Jesus' name, we're going to arrest you because we can't have that. And the Bible says Peter was sleeping in prison, and the angel came and woke him up and set him free. God does his best work when you and I rest. I know that's counterintuitive because what we think is nothing will get done if I rest. I'm here to let us know some of the greatest things will happen when you rest. So let God do his work, because he majors in doing some of the best work when we rest. Something incredible happens when we rest. This is maybe why the scripture says in Psalm 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. That word be still, it literally means to relax. It literally means to withdraw. One Hebrew translation of that word, you know what it means? It means to sink. I love it. You know the visual I got in my mind? A lazy boy. A recliner. I wish I had a recliner to bring up here on the stage to model to us what God wants us to live with. Just rest. Just relax. Sink down. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. You sat on the couch, you got real slump. And that sleep hits you real good out of nowhere. God says, that's how I want you to be in me. I want you to rest in me. I want you to sink in me. Not sink in depression. Sink in me. Not sink in doubt. Sink in me. Not sink in worry. Sink in me. Not sink in stress. I want you to sink in me. Not in the bills that got to be. Sink in me. Because when you rest in me, that's when we experience. Here's the third point that I want to give us. The blessing of rest. And here's what Jesus says in the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 through 30. He says these powerful words. Take up my yoke, learn from me, because I'm lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the blessing of rest. You will receive rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, in case you don't understand this, he's speaking in the agricultural term. And a yoke was anything that would connect. It was these wooden crossbars that were used to connect two types of oxen together. Typically, it was good farmers would oftentimes connect a large ox with a baby ox to teach the baby ox how the plowing should go about. So when Jesus uses this language, what he's saying is you've been yoked to things that have been wearing you out, that have been doing all the causing you to do all the work. But when you get yoked with me, the bigger ox, the stronger ox, the mightier ox, what will happen is you realize that the brunt of the work is not on your shoulders. The brunt of the work is on mine. Which means Jesus says, when you get yoked up with me, you don't have to plow your way through life. You don't have to try to figure out how this is going to work out. Because when you're yoked up with me, that's when you begin to realize that there's an ease to this journey called life. It doesn't mean that everything will be easy, but that there's an ease to life. There's a grace to life. There's a flow to life. There's a joy to life. There's a blessing in resting, y'all. He says, I want you to be yoked up with me. You can't carry the weight. That's okay. You weren't meant to. I can do it. It's too much for you? Yes, it is. That's okay. You're yoked up with me. It's on my shoulders. I love the fact that Jesus says, take upon yourselves my yoke, because my yoke is easy. My yoke is light. My burden is easy. My burden is light. I thank God that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, who says, when it gets too heavy for you, you got an advocate with me and in me who will carry your weight, who will carry your anxieties, who will carry your stress, which is why the Bible says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Why do we cast our cares on him? Because it can't stay on our shoulders without causing us to be disrupted. But when we cast them on the shoulders of Jesus and we put it on the mind of Jesus and on the strength of Jesus, that's when we experience the blessing. There was a blessing in resting, y'all. So in other words, it's like this. You make statements like, I ain't even gonna worry about this. God's got this. They ain't believe it. God did. Somebody went over y'all head. Y'all ain't even. So God did. Yeah, you did. It means this. I don't have to force my way through life. I have a saying that I've adopted over the past few years that I've seen be true so much, and not just in scripture, but in my own life. And I share this with others who oftentimes feel overwhelmed. And I say this, God's grace will get you things that your grind cannot. And what I've learned to do is to trust more in his grace than my grind. Because if I live my life grinding all the time, I will be tired. And exhausted, and stressed, and worried, and depleted. But man, when I lean on the grace of God, When I lean on the strength of God and the mercy of God, I experience rest, because God's desire was never for us to be human doings, but to be human beings. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to close with this. Chapter 2, verse 3. Here's what the scripture says. When God rested, he blessed the seventh day, and he declared it holy, for on it he rested from all his work of creation. He blessed the day of rest, because rest is a blessing, not a burden, y'all. It is not an add-on. It is not something that's going to take from you. It's actually something that's going to give to you. And what that may mean for some of us is, from a practical standpoint, you and I need to, now, we need to relearn some things, and we need to adopt the rhythms of Jesus. I believe that if God worked six days and rested one, we should also do the same. And we see that constantly in Scripture. That God's intent was never for us to work continuously every single day. It is a tragedy when you read stories like the young lady in Japan who died because of overwork. That's not God's desire. And I get it. Many of us may be dealing with some different things. Pastor, you don't understand. I gotta work this overtime. I gotta do the except. I have to. And here's what I'm gonna help you understand. If you live life from the posture of I have to, you will always be lacking. But if you begin to correct that language and live life from the posture of God will, he'll keep me. He'll provide for me. He'll cover me. He'll sustain me. It allows you and I to be able to rest. And I want to really dig up in your life for a moment and ask you, where do you have rest built into your life? Where is that rest? For me personally, as a pastor, my day of rest is tomorrow. It's Monday. I don't do no emails. I don't do no phone calls, no text messages, no social media. I fast on Monday. That's the day where I just allow God to refresh me. So I'm doing things that are pumping life back into me. So no shade if you like try to text me or send me a message and I don't respond back. Pastor ghosted me. No, pastor's with Jesus. Because if I'm not going to spend time with Jesus, I won't be any good to serve you and lead you. Because you can't pour from an empty cup. And if you constantly are spending your life just pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, but you never position yourself to be refilled by the living water named Jesus, who says, when you come to me, I'll make your cup overflow. So I want to invite us to implement a rhythm of rest in your life. Do you have a day of the week where you stop work? A 24-hour period. I'm not doing any work. I'm not doing any type of email. I'm shutting everything down. And I'm going to posture myself to be with the Lord. I'm going to do things that add life and add value to me. I'm going to spend time with friends, spend time with family, spend time with the Lord. I'm going to be resting in him. And so for some of us, that might mean we might have to reorganize our lives a little bit. I get it. Pastor, I don't have time to rest. Can I encourage you with this? You don't have time not to rest. Here's what a mentor once told me. You can either choose to rest or be forced to rest. You can choose to rest. You can rest by choice or you can rest by force. Rest by choice. You can pause and you can take a moment to catch your breath. Or if you continue to move at a sustained pace, you will be in a hospital receiving breath from a breathing machine because you've moved at such a grueling pace. I gotta rest. So my body needs rest. My soul needs rest. That's what God wants to invite us into. Jesus says, take upon you my yoke, because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So for some of us, that might mean, like, I can't do this whole team no sleep thing no more. I got to be intentional with giving my body what it needs. I was recently watching a video by Kobe Bryant, and he was talking about how, while he was playing basketball, he worked so hard in the gym, and he was making 5,000 shots a day in the gym. But he noticed how things weren't translating to the basketball court in the game. He was like, man, I'm putting all this work in. I'm doing all this practicing. I'm making all these shots. Like, I'm putting in the work. Nobody's working harder than me, but it's not translating into the court. And then he began to realize, I'm only getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night. And so because of my lack of sleep, it is nullifying the work that I'm doing on the court, in practice, and in the game. It's showing up here. In other words, here's what he's saying. I needed rest. Rest was also a part of my training. And I believe that you and I will flourish and function and be the best version of ourselves when we learn to rest. We'll be able to be more successful in our marriages when we learn to rest. We'll be more successful as a college student, as a young person, when we learn to rest. We'll be more successful in our business endeavors and on our job when we learn to rest. It's an invitation. It's not condemnation. It's an invitation. Jesus says, come to me. I'll show you the way. Learn my ways. So that might mean I got to reorganize some things. That might mean today, you know what, when I leave this place, when I turn off this sermon, I'm going to pull open my calendar, and I'm going to look at my schedule day by day, and I'm going to look at where do I have consistent rest, not just built in maybe one day a week where I'm not doing anything at all, but even throughout the course of my day, each day, every week, do I have a time set aside for me to be refreshed and be renewed? Because I can't work 12 hours and sleep for 3 and expect to be flourishing and functioning. Nor, most importantly, can I be going all the time here and there but not spend any time with God and allow him to refresh me. Because that well is going to run dry. But Jesus says, but if you come to me, you'll never thirst again. You'll be satisfied. You'll be fulfilled. I'm going to invite us all to stand to our feet this moment. I believe that God's speaking to all of us in here today. And I believe that Jesus wants us to experience what John 10 and 10 says. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Because Jesus' desire is that we would live an abundant life. But Pastor, if I take time to rest, I don't have more time to do things. But here's the principle, y'all. Resting is about trusting in God. I'm trusting that God is going to take care of this. I get to a point where I say, God, I'm taking my hands off. I need to rest. I'm putting it in your hands. And when we begin to do that and live from that posture, we experience the blessing. We experience this abundant life. I believe that God's desire is not that we would be stressed and overworked and overextended and overwhelmed. I don't believe that that's God's will for our life. Will we go through difficult times? Yes, we will. Jesus says it like this. In this life, you will have much trouble. But then he also says, but take joy. I've overcome the world. I believe that God's will is for us to experience rest in him, for us to be the best versions of ourselves, so that way we can have a life of peace and have a life of joy and have a life of fulfillment and have a life of satisfaction. I believe that God does not want us to live a life where we're constantly running and ripping and running and ripping and having all this happen and having all that happen. I believe that God says, I want you to experience the joy of resting. I want you to experience this gift. So in this moment, I want to pray for those of us right now who are tired, who are weary, who are burdened, those who are stressed, those who are anxious. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, maybe you're watching online, and you know that God is speaking to you right now, you can honestly say, Pastor Edwin, right now, I'm stressed and I'm tired. I need some help. I need some rest. My head's about and eyes closed. Could you do me a favor? Could you just lift up your hand? I just want to see you. If you're tired, you're weary, I need some rest. Amen. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in person and online who are exhausted, weary, wounded, distressed. I pray, Father, right now in Jesus' name, that they would begin to experience the rest of trusting in you. That they would know that the burden of proof is no longer on them, it's on you. That they can cast all their cares on you because you care for them. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, for those of us who are having difficulty sleeping and stopping and ceasing, I pray that you would comfort them in this moment to let them know that you got them, that you will take care of them, that you will provide for them, that you will cover them, and that you will keep them. I pray that you would refresh them, that you would renew them. Thank you for your care. Thank you, God, for your love. In Jesus' name, my head's bowed and the eyes are closed. Some of you are here today, and the greatest decision that you will ever make is this one right here, giving your life to Jesus, saying yes to Christ, receiving him as Lord, receiving him as Savior. He says in this word, learn from me, come to me. And the invitation that I'm extending to us on behalf of Jesus is to come to Jesus. It's to give your life to Jesus. It's to trust in Jesus. It's to put your faith in Jesus. He will be your sustainer. He will be your protector. He will be your provider. He will be your comforter. He will be your advocate. He will be your peace. And Jesus is everything that you need. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to come to Jesus today. I want to give him my life. I want to be yoked up with him. I'm tired of doing life on my own. I'm tired of being stressed out because of this. Today, I want to give Jesus my life. If that's you today, I want you to say these words after me. It is a prayer of faith. It is a prayer of salvation. It is a prayer of recommitment. Say, Jesus, I devote my life to you. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Jesus be my Lord. Jesus be my Savior. I receive your life. I receive your rest. In your name I pray. And every person said amen.